Good morning. This is one of those Sundays where everything that has been shared or sung so far ties in so well to the direction God has led me in this morning. I am excited to share with you. Welcome to every visitor, every person who's been gone for a little while. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Before we get to the problems of anxiety and the goodness of God's grace, I want to go back a little bit to the sermon series that we've been in throughout the summer called God Is, and then we filled in the blank with a variety of descriptions of God, God's characteristics, and names for God. And way back, some of you who are here will remember, back in the spring, we invited you to complete a survey and give us input into what we might share in this summer series about who God is. And there was one thing that we just haven't been able to get to yet. It is not for lack of trying. I've tried to write 3 different sermons using 3 different scripture passages about this. So I want you to know we're gonna come back to that when God leads us and when that timing is right. So have that in mind for another day. We're gonna set that aside for now. Today we're thinking about anxiety. Some of us think about anxiety a lot. Some of us experience anxiety a lot. Some of us care for people who have a lot of anxiety. Anxiety is normal. Actually, the research today shows us this is on our social and in the news media. Anxiety is rising in our country. It's very normal. Actually, the statistics say that 50% of people in North America will have a mental disorder at some point in their life. 50%. That's this side of the room, or this side of the room, or half the people online, half the people in our friendships and in our families are experiencing some kind of mental disorder. Anxiety is normal. 30% of North Americans will experience anxiety as a mental illness. Some anxiety, listen, we all have anxiety in our day-to-day life. This life is challenging. Circumstances can be pressing us. We all know what that's like to hear that voice on our shoulder trying to whisper in our ear. We don't have to listen to that voice, and yet anxiety is normal. And so I'm trying to frame this as anxiety is normal in 2 ways. One, it's normal, it's part of our everyday life. And also, for people who are clinically diagnosed with anxiety, that is rising so much that it's becoming normal. So a couple of weeks ago, I was able to take a service trip with our youth from Zion and from Parkview Mennonite Church. We traveled up to Vermont for a week, served with Mennonite Disaster Service. It was fantastic. I can't wait to go back. One of the great things about the trip, about the experience, was I got to learn from lots of youth in our community, and they told me some of the things that they're anxious about. They are very concerned about climate change, understandably. Like, what kind of world are we going to have? They are very aware and passionate and caring about our politics and our presidential election. They have a lot of anxiety and weight that they are carrying. Well, we all do have this weight that we are carrying on our shoulders. This is not the way it should be in the church. We need to be encouraging and helping each other, as you've heard about in the story. The other thing that caught my attention this past week about anxiety, a week ago after the worship service, a child here came up to me and said, "I'm anxious about going back to school." And then they said, "I've been anxious since July." Well, that caught my attention. Now, I don't know if this is normal anxiety that we all experience in life, or if this is the normal anxiety of anxiety increasing in our world. I don't know which one it is, and that's okay. What I do notice for myself when I experience anxiety, it tends to go in a cycle. So if I'm anxious about something, then I tend to make mistakes, and then I tend to get more anxious, and then I make more mistakes, and on and on and on around the circle. And I also notice that when I'm trying to help others who have anxiety, and I'm trying to be a support for them, I don't always feel like I have the tools or the insights to do so well. Sometimes I'll try so hard to say just the right thing, and my words just come out all wrong. And so I want to help us today to be the church. Sometimes in the church, we have shamed people for anxiety. We have belittled people for anxiety. No, we come together. We need each other. We support each other. We care about each other. And caring for each other is something Zion does so well. And so I want to help us think about this in some new ways today. The problem of anxiety is a bit like my dog. Some of you all have heard about my dog before. She is sweet, she's lovable, she's a rescue dog. She has definitely some anxiety. I would say actually her functioning is decreasing, which is not a good thing. If any of you all are experts about dogs, please give us some tips. I mean, 4th of July, New Year's Eve, thunderstorms, they are terrifying for her. She crawls under the furniture and hides. She gets very scared. You know about dogs. We need to talk, Rebecca. So this past week, one of the things I noticed about her, she used to love going on walks, and now she's scared to do so. Something she used to love, she is now afraid of. So this past week, we still go on walks. This past week, I was taking her on a walk. It was early in the morning, so this was before school started, so early in the morning was before 8 a.m. at that point. And we're out for a walk, and one of the things that now scares her when we're on a walk is intersections. She's like a middle-aged adult, like, having trouble with the intersections of life. Anyway, so we're going straight down the road and an intersection is coming up where we could turn to the left. And she is trying to pull me as hard as she can to the right because this intersection scares her. I don't know, I can't explain it. So this is what anxiety does to us. She's pulling me so hard this day when we're on a walk that she sits down in the middle of one of the lanes of traffic. There weren't cars coming, there could have been, but she's in the middle of the lane, and she thinks she's safe there, and she sits down, not realizing that her anxiety has drug her into a place where she is less safe. You get it? That's what anxiety does to us. So I want us to think today about anxiety, three parts of anxiety. There's a lot we could chew on here about anxiety. We tend to make anxiety bigger, and anxiety sort of makes itself bigger in our minds, so we're going to narrow this down to three parts of anxiety that we're going to be thinking about through the rest of this sermon. The first part about anxiety is that it's growing in the United States. It's increasing around us. And so we need to pay attention to that. We need tools and insights in how to deal with it. The second part of anxiety is when we're navigating it ourselves. We need some better ways to think about anxiety so that it's not so debilitating. And third is when other people who we love who are experiencing anxiety are navigating it, we want to be equipped to do so well. So have those in the back of your mind as we go through. What I'm excited to share with you today is the goodness of God, that we have great news that God is bigger than any anxiety and circumstances we face. So I invite the children at this point. We're going to do something very quickly. Children, if you want to come back to the blanket for just a moment, you're welcome to do so. And I want to show you something. Go ahead and come on up. Who knows? Come on down. Any children, do you know what this is? What is it, Ori? It's a screwdriver. You can have a seat. Does anybody know what this is? What is it?
A drill.
It's a drill. Sometimes they call it a driver. Yeah. Now, do you think one of these works better than the other? One of them works faster than the other? Yeah. Why is that? Do you know?
Because one of them is like battery powered and one of them is not.
You've got it, Julia. You've got it. If I were to plug this into an outlet, it would not even work. There's no way to plug it in. But this, I've got a battery that's been charging. And so if I take that and put it in, all of a sudden I have power that I didn't used to have. That's what we do with God. This screwdriver is a little bit like anxiety. The driver is what we want to do. We want to be plugged in to God's power so that with God's ability, we can do far beyond what we could do on our own. Does that make sense? Okay, you can go back to your seats. Thank you. So what I notice in this passage, Isaiah 61, the people of God are devastated. Some of them are still in exile. Some of them have returned from exile. They're back in Jerusalem, and their city has been demolished. The temple, which is the center of their worship, their center of their community life, has been destroyed. Oh, they know what anxiety is. And God equips them, God's word to them, equips them with tools, with power beyond their ability. So first example, one of the things I notice about this passage is there's several word pictures, several visions God has for the people of God. And one of those that we just heard about is oaks of righteousness, oaks of righteousness. God is telling, well, let me back up a minute. One of the things I learned this week when I geeked out about anxiety and did lots of research, oh, and I want to tell you one other thing too. A couple resources that I can recommend to you. This is called Not Quite Fine, Mental Health, Faith, and Showing Up for One Another. It's by Carlene Hill Bryan. I've read about a third of it, you can see, and it's a good resource. Two other resources would be if you go to YouTube and you search for therapy in a nutshell, there's a licensed clinical therapist. I've been following her work for about a year. I highly recommend her. Therapy in a nutshell. The other one is Dr. Julie, who is a great resource available to you. So let's see, before I got on that tangent, I forget which tangent. Oh yes, one of the things I learned when I geeked out on anxiety this week is that if we envision ourselves in the future, that has a physical impact on our bodies right now in the present, for better or for worse. So if I'm an owner of a business and I envision that all of my clients leave, that has a negative physical impact on my body right now. Or if I'm a librarian and I know I've got this project coming up where every book in the library is going to be shuffled around and reordered to a new place in the library. And if I think about how I want to be in that situation at my best, it has a positive physical impact on my body right now, for better or for worse. You see, and we can't just say, you know, envision ourselves getting an A+ on a test and not study, right? It doesn't work that way. We can't just envision anything we want. It works best if we envision ourselves in a challenging circumstance and envision how we want to function at our best. One of the things I notice about this passage is God is giving God's people a vision for how God sees God's people. They're in a challenging, stressful circumstance, and God is telling them who they are at their best. They are oaks of righteousness. Think of everything you know about an oak tree, right? They have strong trunks, their roots grow down deep, their leaves don't fade in the summer. They're green and beautiful in the summer before turning glorious shades of crimson and yellow, gold in the fall. That is what the people of God are like an oak tree. So the first part to think about is God's vision for who we are. God's power for us works best when we plug into God's power best when we understand God's vision for who we are and we live into that. That takes us to the second point. God's vision isn't for one mighty oak tree. It's oaks of righteousness. It's plural. We are a community together. We are wired to be in community, even the introverts among us. Introverts probably cringing right now, right? Introversion and extroversion. Extroversion is when you get your energy from being around people. Introversion is when you get your energy from being on your own. We still need each other in community, and we're still wired for community regardless. It reminds me of the study that was done recently in a retirement community. There were 12 retirement communities. Six of them, they decided to create a program for 6 months or 9 months where they sang together once a week for 90 minutes. And the other six retirement communities, nothing changed. It stayed the same. There was no choir. At the end of the time of this survey, they came back and they did a study and they found out that of those people who sang in a choir, their mental health got better. Their anxiety decreased. For the people who nothing changed, their anxiety stayed the same or got worse. Now, some of that would be the power of singing together. It's kind of like when we were, during the pandemic, unable to come together and sing. Some of that is the power of community. That's part of the research that they did. They found out it was the community gathering together that made the difference. So let's move to the last point here from the passage about how God wants us to think about anxiety. I notice in the passage that God is a God of instead of. God is a God of instead of. So it's beauty instead of ashes. Joy instead of mourning. Praise instead of despair. Instead of shame, we get a double portion. Think about that biblically, double portion for the firstborn child. God is a God of instead of. It reminds me of how God inspired a writer. Instead of writing shame, God inspired a writer to write these beautiful words of love. This instead of God made himself so small that he knew what it felt like to sweat from anxiety on his hands and for his heart to race, for the feeling in the pit of his stomach. This instead of God empowered a brother to go back when he heard someone who had fallen through the ice cry for help and to suffer. This instead of God helps every boy and girl here in this congregation as we head into school this week, or as we face whatever causes us anxiety. This instead of God empowers us to recognize that God is still a God of transformation. God's power and love are greater than any anxiety and challenge that we face. It doesn't mean it all washes away. That's another sermon. God is a God of transformation and of love and instead of. And so as we each use our pencils this week, as we sharpen them, remember where the pencil came from. The pencil comes from, well, a community of people, oaks of righteousness, planted by God for the display of God's splendor. This is God's promise. Amen.